Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
It's the last full weekend of the 2018-2019 season. Welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Football Postcast, and we're going to try and bring you the best bets. It's Bruce Millington, Mark Langdon, Dan Childs, and Paddy Power's Malachy Rooney. There's loads going on. We've got the Europa League semi-finals. We've got a full programme of Premier League action. All the remaining questions are going to be answered further down the divisions. And then we will look ahead to two juicy second legs of the Champions League. So we'll start with tonight's action. Tonight being Thursday, obviously. It's Arsenal versus Valencia and Eintracht Frankfurt versus Chelsea in the Europa League semi-final first legs. And before we look at the games, Mal, what's Paddy Power's latest outright betting?
So in the outright, the favourites for the Europa League are Chelsea at 11-8, Arsenal are second fives at 5-2, followed by Valencia at 7-2, and Eintracht Frankfurt are 11-2.
We've got some anti-post interest, lads, haven't we?
Yeah.
Which of you bright sparks put me onto Valencia?
Yeah, that was me. They've got a difficult semi-final, but you've got to be in it to win it type thing. I feel that's a very even tie they've got coming up against Arsenal. And if they get through that, they've got the place part. And, they've been one of the form teams in Spain in 2019. Just gone off the boil a little bit. But I think it's difficult when you get to this stage to know whether to go for Europa League or whether to go for top four. We've seen that with Arsenal, Chelsea.
Are they involved in top four?
They are involved. I think
Getafe is still going great.
Getafe, Sevilla and Valencia are doing kind of what they're doing in the Premier League, where they've started to lose matches you wouldn't expect. So, and I think the Europa League campaign probably does have something to do with that.
They love the Europa League more than we do, probably, don't they?
They do. And of course, Unai Emery, is... former Valencia manager. It's a big game for him. I think it's probably at the prices, I'd just lean towards Valencia, but Arsenal were very impressive in dealing with Napoli in the previous round.
They were. So tonight's two games, Mark, give us your best bets for them.
Arsenal Valencia, I'd struggle for one. Maybe the draw if pushed, but I've got a stronger one in there. I can see why Chelsea have been backed against Eintracht Frankfurt. Eintracht are going very well in the Bundesliga. But you look at the form, Liverpool, destroyed Bayern Munich, Tottenham likewise, but with Borussia Dortmund. I think Chelsea will come through that two-legged tie reasonably comfortably. I'll go for them.
Have you seen the new Chelsea kit out today? Very funky.
No.
It's got all sorts of weird kind of jagged, it's obviously the usual blue, but there's all this sort of black weird pattern all over it. It's nice. Dan, what are the bets tonight on the Europa League?
I've gone for Arsenal to win the home game, the home leg. I just think their home form has been generally, I know Palace obviously won there recently, but generally in the Premier League, I think it's the third best home record still after Man City and Liverpool. They've also been strong at home in the Europa League as well, dealt with Napoli really well. And I've just... a little bit of a worry about Valencia. They have had an easier draw, I think, playing against... only just got past Krasnodar, actually. I think they scored injury time there to go through. Yeah. And they've had Celtic and Villarreal. Villarreal have had a bit of a struggle in Spain this year. So I'd go edge towards Arsenal for the first leg, but a tight tie overall. And Chelsea, I agree with Mark with Chelsea. I think they're too big, actually, to win the first leg. And Eintracht have got some problems with suspension for Ante Rebic, who's a key player, and Sebastian Haller, the centre forward, is injured. So that's two of their front three that are out. They've still got their top scorer, Luka Jovic, is still going to play, but I think taking two of those three out is a big blow for them, so I'll go for Chelsea.
Boys, both going for Chelsea. Mal, give us the two 90-minute prices and then your idea of the best bets tonight.
So, Arsenal are even money favs. The draw is 23-10 and Valencia are 11-4 away from home. And in the second fixture, Eintracht Frankfurt are 21-10 at home. The draw is 11-5 and Chelsea are 13-10.
You're an Arsenal fan. You're going to go with your boys?
I'm a Milan fan.
Oh, sorry, Kush, who's the Arsenal fan?
I think both
Sam's
and Brian,
the Arsenal fan. Sorry, Kush, you're Milan. Pardon me.
Tough times to be following either team, really, at the moment. But... I agree with the lads are saying with Chelsea qualifying overall. I think they'll see the deal in the home fixture, though. I've actually gone for the draw in both games. I think that Arsenal's home record is quite decent. Like it's their away form basically that's cost them in the race for top four. And Valencia, I haven't really seen much of them this season. They're 3 points off fourth, I think, in the Liga race. And it's very similar actually in Spain, England and in Italy, what's happening. Any team that puts themselves in a position to get it then just bottles it, for want of a better word, and they drop points in a game that they shouldn't. But I think it's going to be very close in both matches tonight. And I think 10-1 for the draw double is something I'll have a little nibble on.
10-1 a draw double, that sounds decent. Right then, it's really tricky in the Premier League this weekend. You've got loads and loads of very lopsided games from a betting perspective. And then a few tricky ones. There's sort of, are they on the beach? Are they trying? As I said in my column today, they try more than everyone thinks. But we'll start off with a Friday night live offering at 8 o'clock. Everton versus Burnley. There's not much at stake here. Well, is there, Mark, really?
Everton are playing for seventh. They've got to make points up on Wolves, but Wolves do go to Liverpool on the final day. So, you know, Wolves and seventh will be good enough for the Europa League if Man City beat Watford. And I think for Marco Silva and for Nuno, you know, I think that they would see that as something to go for. Yeah.
Burnley try anyway, I'd imagine, in their little five-a-sides all tearing into each other on the training ground. So, latest betting from Paddy Power.
Everton are 4-7 fives at home. The draw is 3-1, and Burnley are 9-2.
Dan, I cannot call Burnley. I have no idea what they're ever going to do. They're just an incredible team. I don't know how they get the results they do, but they do. Will they get anything from this?
No. I just think the class gap is too big here. I think Everton are playing better than they have at any stage this season. A lot of the question marks were over their defending, but they've actually got 7 clean sheets in the last 9, including clean sheets against Liverpool, Chelsea, Arsenal, Manchester United. Now, that's impressive, really. It's gone a little bit under the radar. They're tagged as this team that struggle defensively, struggle with set pieces. They've obviously seemed to have sorted that out at the moment. Burnley have had a fantastic recovery. I mean, they looked in real relegation trouble, didn't they, for at least the first half of the season. But all of their 4 away wins have come against teams 14th, 4 below. 3 of them have come against teams in the bottom 4. So they struggle still to win on the road at decent teams. Everton now, I'd say, outside of the big 6, they're playing probably as well as maybe Leicester, as the other side, playing very well at the moment. And I'd say no problem in sticking them in an ACCA, but maybe for a little bit of value, Everton 2-0, 6-1 is the way I'd go.
OK, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I would look to side with Everton as well, probably on the 90-minute prices. There's not much to be gained in backing a team like Everton, sort of reasonably strong odds on. I was looking at Sigurdsson first goal around about this sort of 5-1 mark, but he's got 13 Premier League goals this season. If you look at the way Burnley defend, very deep, they encourage shots from distance. You know that you can't sort of get round them or through them, and they will let you sort of shoot from 20, 25 yards. I think it's one of the reasons why their kind of shot stats are always bad. Their expected goals when they finished seventh wasn't as disastrous as sort of the shot stats were, because they let you have a lot of low quality shots. But Sigurdsson, one of the best around, at sort of taking advantage of that from the edge of the area, and sort of in a game where I haven't got a massive opinion, I just thought he may give you a bit of interest.
They were very good against us last week, I've got to say. And I thought Michael Keane showed good form. He's got better, hasn't he? Yeah. He's had a bit of a sticky tongue.
He had a really good game against Liverpool. I think he was very good. And that seems to boost
really
his
solid. No, they look decent. Mal, have you got strong fancy here, mate?
I'm with the lads there. I've Everton -1-13 today. It was my pick. It's a kind of end of season run out, but as Mark alluded to there, they can still get 7th. Everton, Burnley don't really have anything to play for. I know they will try in every game to play in, but I think that kind of relief of knowing that you're safe in the top flight would kind of take over them a little bit. But even if this was a normal game during the season, I'd probably fancy Everton. And funny what you say about Burnley, that's exactly how I feel about Everton. I just, week to week, I just can't pick or predict what way they're going to play. So I've gone with the -1 here, and I think they will get a couple of goals.
Okay, some tricky Saturday Premier League games. We'll do those next.
Right, 10 seconds to promote Paddy Power Games. Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games. Advertising. It's easy when you know how. Paddy Power. Enough of the nonsense. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right then, Saturday's Premier League games kick off with the 12:30 fixture at the Vitality Stadium. It's Bournemouth versus Spurs. It is live on Sky, and it's a tricky old test. It's not just assessing which team's best here. There's all sorts of other factors to come into consideration. Mal, give us the 90-minute prices and then your idea of the best bets.
So Bournemouth are 11-4 at home. The draw is also 11-4, and Spurs are 10-11 away from home. This is a tricky game. I think this is probably the trickiest game of the weekend. So a win obviously secures a Champions League place for Spurs, but they look so jaded during the week. I mean, that Ajax performance was admirable, but I did think that Spurs look very tired in themselves. I think Son coming back into the team would be a big boost. But I just don't know if we'd be backing them at a shades of odds on in this match. The other thing about it is, when you look at the table, that Spurs don't actually have to win. If they draw both the remaining fixtures, that probably will be enough to secure them top four because of their goal difference with Arsenal. So I've gone for the draw here at 11-4, but it would be very, very weak fancy. I just don't think I could pull myself to back Spurs at 10-11.
Okay, two reeling Tottenham fans to my left. Mark, go first. What do you think?
A tricky game. My initial thought was that I'd want to be against Tottenham in this match, but I was expecting them actually to be shorter than the price that they are, given that they have got, you know, something to play for, and Bournemouth have been pretty poor for a number of months. I mean, you know, they gave up 3 goals to Southampton and long missed an open goal as well against them last week. The way I was looking to play it was Tottenham to win by 1 goal. Now, they've lost the last 5 Premier League away matches, but 3 of those...
Really?
But 3 of those were to Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City. Okay. The Burnley game was pretty tight. Southampton, they should have been out of sight and then got pegged back late on. But if you have a look at Bournemouth, they've lost by exactly 1 goal to Man City, to Arsenal and to Manchester United. And that's the way I'd be looking to play it. We don't know what kind of team Pochettino is going to pick. Will he select Sissoko, for instance? I mean, he may want to save
him.
Well,
you tell me. You're the expert.
Well, it's impossible to know.
Will we see the likes of Skip and
Foyt.
It's all right.
Yeah, some people would say, you know, is he going to, you know, he's better than Trippier.
I liked it the other day when he came on a sub and one of the commentators said he'd had an aerial threat.
And he'd be pretty wicked. No, I mean,
5'2".
He's all his talents in his feet. But, I mean, Sissoko, I thought he'd play on Tuesday night against Ajax, and he didn't want to risk him. I mean, I think there's a big case to be said that you rest him for the return game against Ajax. I mean, Vertonghen's definitely not playing, but Son is back. I think Tottenham will win, but I wanted to oppose them, but I thought they'd be shorter.
Okay, so you're going Tottenham by 1.
Yeah.
Who'd have thought we'd be saying a year ago that Sissoko would be Spurs' key man? It's
absolutely huge.
You know, when I was a kid and I used to play junior football, you had this manager award for, like, you get the player of the year and you get the manager award. Basically, that's like willing but shit, isn't it? You know, I used to win it. They also used to have the most improved player award.
Oh, God, yeah.
Never
yeah.
won that. But Sissoko would win that for the league, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would.
Year,
yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah, he would.
Dan?
Yes, I mean, Sissoko is the key to this game, I think. He actually sent a tweet yesterday along the lines of, we can still do this with the Ajax tie, and he was sent two of the replies from Spurs fans with a video of the Star Wars scene of Princess Leia saying, "Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope." So
that
gives you
an
idea of the esteem that he's held in now by Spurs supporters. I think he's probably a shoo-in for the player of the season, I would think, as well for Tottenham. But that is, you're kind of weighing the bet up here, and it for me, in my head, it's dependent on whether he plays or not, because Spurs midfield without him, as we saw against West Ham, is not very good. We also saw it in the first 35 minutes against Ajax as well, where the midfield balance changed when he came on. And my feeling is that he may be rested for this game. And for that reason, really, I would go with lay of Spurs, Bournemouth or draw, double chance. It's not really a positive bet behind Bournemouth, because you look at their last two home games, they've lost 3-1 to Burnley and 1-0 to Fulham. So there's not a lot to go on there. I just think Spurs going anywhere at the moment away from home without Sissoko are going to struggle.
You could argue that if Pochettino in these current circumstances could pick one game away, you'd go Bournemouth, because they're not going to be kicking lumps out of you, are you?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Quite a nice game, yeah.
Okay, it's only 2 3pm Saturday games. We've got West Ham versus Southampton. They're both safe. So how do we bet on this one, Mel?
West Ham are the favs here at 5-4. The draw is 5-2, and Southampton are 11-5.
What's your fancy, Lango?
Well, yeah, I mean, West Ham's performance last week didn't surprise. I mean, we said it on the podcast that we thought that they'd put up a really good fight against Tottenham. I'm not sure about them at these prices, though, against Southampton, who've only lost five matches this year, and three of those were to Arsenal, Manchester United and Liverpool. They've chucked away a lot of points, Southampton, from winning positions, but they've become much more difficult to beat. I think a draw could be the way to go here. Just wondering about... West Ham look very dangerous on the counter-attack. Just wondering about them opening up teams that maybe don't sort of come flying at them.
Dan?
Yeah, I think West Ham's were made to look a lot better than they are actually by our poor Spurs were last week. I think they're an okay side, still very inconsistent. I think Southampton have shown a more consistent improvement under Hasenhüttl, who, I mean, and over his time there, I mean, when you think of what he took over, they've actually got 29 points in 21 games. That's one more than West Ham have got over the same period. So I would actually edge towards Southampton here. They're a pretty good away side as well. Southampton draw no bets, 6-5 does it for me.
What do you fancy, Mel?
I fancy the goals here, so quite simply, I've gone over 2.5 goals at 8-13. I think it could be a high scoring match.
Why?
I just think with games like this, when teams really have nothing to play for, like they've got nothing to lose by going out and attacking. Like West Ham's formation in and of itself is quite attacking. I just think that the lads are probably correct in saying they're a little bit short. I wouldn't fancy backing West Ham a 5-4 in the game, but when you look at a game like this, I don't see any reason for them to sit back or to play the way they normally play. Like I think it's a nothing game. I think half the games on this weekend are kind of nothing, dead rubbers, and one or two of them are probably going to be gold fests.
Okay, dokes. Well, perhaps Wolves versus Fulham will be. That's the other 3 o'clock game. This casts me back to my strident opinion in August that Fulham are a great bet to be the top promoted club at 3-1. That didn't work out too well, did it? How short are Wolves here, Mal?
They're quite short. So Wolves are 2-5 to win the game. The draw is 10-3, and Fulham are 13-2.
Dan, could you be lumping on Wolves at 2-5?
No, I think the prices are too skewed here, and I'd actually take a chance on laying them. Fulham or draw double chance at 17-10. Wolves' form has been well documented that they're very good against the big six. Against the bottom six, they've had 3 wins, 2 draws, and 6 defeats. And the way they play, they do struggle sometimes.
Counter-attackers.
Yeah, the counter-attackers. They struggle when they've got to open teams up. That's been a consistent theme. And Fulham have won the last three games. The only other two teams in the Premier League that have done that are Liverpool and Manchester City. So they are playing a lot better under Parker now. The work rate's gone up. There was always a reasonable amount of talent there. They just weren't working hard enough. And I think there's a reasonable chance they could pick something up.
Mark, do you agree?
Yeah, I wouldn't back Wolves. I was looking, though, if you do fancy Wolves, one of the reasons why I think they struggle against these bottom six sides is they haven't got that many goal-scoring options. I mean, Doherty has done very well from the right wing-back position, but if you have a look at it, it's mainly Jota and Jimenez that get all their goals. There's nothing from... I mean, Neves will curl one in very occasionally. It's absolutely brilliant. Moutinho...
Do you think Neves has been slightly disappointed this season? He's had his
moments. I think Moutinho has been probably the one that's made Wolves tick more in midfield. But then if you put the third one in there, it's quite often been sort of more recently sort of a Dendonka type player. Again, more defensive. So I was looking at the front two to get the opening goal. And I just think Jota, much bigger price than him. And now he's got 5 in 10. Absolute live wire. If Wolves win the game, I think it'd be one of them two. So I'll go Jota first goal.
Malachi, what is your fancy here?
I'm actually in agreement with Dan. I'd be inclined to take on Wolves and back Fulham. Double chance at 17-10, 7-4 mark. Like, Fulham are brilliant against the top sides, as stated, but I think they could struggle in this game. And Fulham away from home as well probably suits them even better, that there's absolutely zero pressure on them. They can counter-attack at will. And I don't think... Do Wolves have to win? I don't have the table in front of me. I mean, I think they're 4 points ahead of Everton.
I think the problem is, Malachi, they've got Liverpool on the final game, so they're probably thinking no more points, to cut. I mean, I know they've got a great record, but, I mean, they're going to be big outsiders. So this is their opportunity to to seal the deal. If not, they become vulnerable, I suppose.
Yeah, that makes sense. I suppose, they're probably going to... I mean, why not target this game against arguably the weakest or second weakest team in the league? But, I just wouldn't be keen to back them at the price. If they drifted and they were a little bit bigger, I'd be happy to get involved, but 2-5 seems very short for me.
OK, at 5:30, BT are showing Cardiff v Palace. Loads of conspiracy theories on the Palace fan site, so we're going to throw it to try and dent Brighton's survival hopes. Don't suppose Roy has got any particular desire to do that. So, Cardiff v Palace, very competitive as far as the betting goes, Mel.
Yeah, so Cardiff are 7-5 favs here. The draw is 5-2 and Palace are 13-8.
And Mel, what will happen?
I think Cardiff are going to win, actually. So Cardiff had a decent enough record at home during the season. One thing I was looking at with Palace was the same as any other team that's safe, or it's somewhat of a dead rubber for them. I mean, they can't really go up. I think they can move up one position and take West Ham's 11th. They're unlikely to drop down with Newcastle playing Liverpool and Bournemouth playing Spurs. So, but the 3-2 win away at Arsenal showed them that they're still happy to play and fight till the end of the season. I just think Palace or Cardiff have been unlucky, and I have seen them play quite a bit lately. Like, firstly with refereeing decisions.
Oh, I hadn't heard anything about that. Tell me more. No one's mentioned it.
It's quite well documented, all right. But even in the chances that they missed, I mean, there were some horrific chances that they missed of clear headers and open goals, just one-on-ones that they should have scored. I mean, they really probably are unlucky not to have picked up at least another 2-3 points in the last maybe 4 matches. So I think in a game like this, I think that they're going to finally balance out and get a result, to be honest with you.
Okay, Mark, what do you like?
I think at the prices, I'd rather back Crystal Palace. I think the draw isn't really much of a player here, because Cardiff going to Manchester United on the final day, in their heads they know they absolutely must win this game. And so that in itself I don't think suits them, the way they play. In Palace, the masters on the break, 1-8 away Premier League matches. They've beaten very good teams like Man City and Arsenal, good teams like Wolves and Leicester, and then some of the terrible ones like Fulham and Huddersfield. So I know there's much more going on for Cardiff, but that brings its own pressures as well. And at the prices, I mean, it's not often that Cardiff are favourites to win a Premier League game, so I'm happy to oppose them.
Dan, what's your idea of the bet here?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident with Crystal Palace, really. I think I'll be happy to back them if both teams were the same price. So the fact that they're quite a bit bigger is looks massive to me. Palace have got the fifth best away record in the Premier League. Cardiff have lost 10 at home, only Huddersfield have lost more home games. I agree with Mark, Cardiff will have to push forward. They've got to try and win the game. That leaves them exposed to Zaha's pace on the counter-attack. Benteke's looked a little bit better recently as well.
He's back, telling you. Benteke's back.
Yeah, and one of the reasons Cardiff missed so many chances is because they haven't got that quality in attack. I think that's an ongoing theme there. So Palace for me, yeah.
Good lad.
Do you think there's anything in the wanting to lose against?
No, not at all. Absolutely not. And all these fans who support your team, sod Brighton. Who cares what Brighton do? If they go down, they go down. If they stay up, we get 2 games against them. Have some pride. We're not a club that goes throwing games. So it's Benteke first goal scorer and it's Zaha last goal scorer, okay? Because as Cardiff pile forward, they will leave all sorts of space and Wilf in what could be, I hope I'm wrong, his final away game in a Palace shirt, will want to go out with a bang. 7:45, Newcastle versus Liverpool, a game that is always very exciting and much anticipated because of those legendary 4-3s we've had between them down the years. Newcastle is safe now, Liverpool absolutely scrapping for everything and obviously extremely short, Mel.
Yeah, so Liverpool are heavy favs away from home here at 4-11. Newcastle are 8-1 at home and the draw is 4-1.
I make this tricky, Mark. I don't know about you. I don't think this is as simple as the market suggests.
No, absolutely not. I mean, the way the game falls, having been to Barcelona on the Wednesday night, then going to Newcastle on the Saturday is not ideal. The fact that they were so unlucky, Liverpool, which we'll get onto later, to play so well against Barcelona and get beat 3-0 is not going to do anything for their sort of morale, I wouldn't have thought. And Newcastle, again, you've got this conspiracy of Rafa wanting to help Liverpool. I think Rafa's in it for himself, And I mean, why would the players want to help Liverpool? There's no reason.
Football people just want to win, don't they? In Italy, you get them throwing them games.
I don't
all
think
the
it's
time,
as much
right,
as bad in Italy.
Maybe
anymore.
It's not, but
it's
I mean,
not,
you know,
no, it used to be.
Look at all the games last week where you had teams with nothing to play for. Fleetwood beating
a good one, Burton beating Luton.
Beating, yeah.
I mean, would be a good example.
Well,
of that.
A good one. It's a good example. Yeah. Enjoy.
Well, Lucas Aiken scored, so it wasn't all bad.
But, oh, God, I forgot to back him, did he?
Yeah, you too. You got both. Oh. Anyway, my bet, Bruce, in this one is Newcastle +2. So Liverpool can even win by one goal and you'd still be in profit from this game. Tottenham, Chelsea, Arsenal, they went to St James's Park, only won by one goal. Man City were beaten at St James's Park. I mean, Jurgen Klopp would quite happy. If they're winning by one goal here, I mean, where is the incentive to go and get the second? So he'd happily take a one-goal victory here. I mean, Liverpool are too short. Yeah, I totally agree.
Dan, what's your view?
Go for broke here. I'm going to say take the 8-1 Newcastle. I just think it's too big a price, really. it's, you know, Liverpool, they've got to win the game. If it's tight, Newcastle are good on the counter attack as well. As we've seen, Almiron's out. That's a you know, takes a little bit away from them. But the word is in their newspapers up there is that Jose Perez, who come off injured, he's going to be all right to play, which is massive because he's been on, most improved.
He's been
on fire recently. Yeah. So that's and it's so difficult for Liverpool to put such an effort in and play so well against Barcelona, and effectively you're in such a bad situation and then have to play 3 days later. Newcastle have had a free week. I agree with Mark. Rafa Benitez, for him it's about raising his stock, you know, so he's in a great position to get a good job, whether it's not Newcastle in the summer. And I think this is a dangerous game for Liverpool, and Newcastle are overpriced.
Dan, the boys are very negative about Liverpool's chances. Do you agree with them?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I'm actually Newcastle win as well.
Wow.
Originally, when I looked at it, I was thinking Liverpool too short. So naturally enough, you think about laying them back, the double chance on Newcastle. But in a game like this, where Liverpool are going to have to throw everything at it at the end, if they're not winning, that's when they could get caught in the counter. So I'd agree with Dan there. I'd rather back the 8-1 on Newcastle to win the match than take the 9-4 on them double chance. I think Liverpool looked like they played as well as they probably could have hoped to play away at the Nou Camp last night. And I agree, like, they're going to be deflated going into this game. I don't think there's anything in the Benitez thing. I think that's absolute nonsense. And even from an owner's point of view, like, don't you get an extra million or 1.5 million for every place that you move up in the league? So there's an incentive from everyone except, we'll say, Benitez, who I wouldn't even think would care about trying to chuck the game or anything like that. So I think a Newcastle win is slightly overpriced at the current odds.
Last night, Jurgen Klopp was trying to get Alisson to go up for a corner at 3-0 down. Now, he didn't, and Barcelona then didn't score on the counter-attack when Dembele probably should have done. But, I mean, the fact that he was so aggressive in trying to chase an away goal, I think tells you exactly how they'll play if they need a goal with 10 minutes to go. I mean, there'll be absolutely no holding back.
OK, loads more to come in part three.
Friends, or maybe more. Earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power, thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Football Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Mark Langdon, Dan Childs and Paddy Power's Mal Rooney. We are looking ahead to Sunday's three Premier League games. We've got a live Monday night football game, and then we've got the return legs of the Champions League semi-finals. And it's they played for both clubs. It's not on TV. It starts at 2 p.m. It's Chelsea versus Watford. Mal, how do you bet?
So Chelsea are strong, perhaps here at 4-11. The draw is 7-2, and Watford are 7-1.
I've actually only got Chalobah.
Oh, I've got Furlong and Nathan Aki.
Oh yeah.
Come on, Orne's your second
can't
team.
That many. Yeah.
And if you're a smell.
No.
Struggling.
I hate this game.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm all terrible right at it.
No, you want to play something else? What do you want? Cool. We've only got three. Yeah.
There must be some.
Right. Yeah. Okay, Mal, lead on. What's going to happen to Chelsea-Watford?
I think Chelsea are too short. I think the away midweek game in Germany this evening is going to count against them. They've been chronically inconsistent, no matter who they've played or where they've played. Like, they really should have had top four sewn up a long, long time ago. And the same could be said for Spurs, I know, but Chelsea in particular, anytime I watch them, I mean, you wouldn't know what result they're going to get. I think that they're going to have a difficult enough game tonight. I don't think it'll be a walk in the park. And I think teams in general, when they play away from home, particularly on a tourist in Europe, it does count against them. So Watford are in the FA Cup final, so I don't think they're on the beach just yet. They're going to have to focus on that, but I would be surprised if the rested players for this game, maybe in the following game. So the FA Cup final is the 18th of May, I think, so they'll probably rest in the last game, but in order to keep people match fit and everything, I'm sure they'll just tick away with their normal lineup. I'd be very apprehensive about backing Chelsea 2-5. I've actually gone for the lay of that, and I've backed the 2-1 on Watford +1.
Dan, what's your view?
Kerry Dixon.
No, Kerry Dixon. Did he play for Watford?
Yeah, he did.
But I thought it was Luton.
I remember it well because he played for Luton and then went to Watford. So there was a big split in the fan base.
And then went to Chelsea.
No, he was at Chelsea.
Oh, he bookended his career.
Kerry
Dixon. Right, what's going to happen in this game?
I'm going for both teams to score here. Watford, a lot's going to could depend on the Wolves game, because if Wolves don't beat Fulham, then Watford have still got a good chance at top four. If they get a if they get top seven, yeah, top four. That was
a bit ambitious
that, but no, they could have quite a bit to play for. They've got West Ham at home on the last day of the season, and Wolves obviously go to Liverpool. So I still think whatever happens, as Malachy mentioned, that they'll pick a strong team. Troy Deeney will be back, which is important to Watford offensively. Without him, Deulofeu and Gray doesn't really work together as a partnership. They're a lot better with him in the side. And Watford do score goals. They've scored in nine of the last 10 games. The exception was against Arsenal when they had 10 men, I think, for the 80 minutes of the game. So I think they'll score. I wouldn't be necessarily going against Chelsea, though, because it's such a big game for them. Two wins and they've got top four nailed down, even though it falls between the Eintracht Frankfurt game. It's a huge game for them. I don't expect a lot of changes, but I think both teams will be on a score sheet. Both teams score for me.
Draw Chelsea, double result. I think we've seen Chelsea pretty sluggish in a lot of their sort of matches, particularly at home when teams set up to kind of be not necessarily defensive, but just don't come at them. You know, it takes a while for them to work it all out. And if it doesn't come through Hazard, you're looking around and you're just wondering where that creativity is.
Kovacic and Jorginho have become even more boring, haven't they?
They have. I mean, I think they're a very methodical approach, and it's not the way that Chelsea, it's not the way that Sarri played when he was at Napoli. It's just not coming out as he would have wanted, and how I'm sure he intended at the start of the season. However, in saying that, I do think that they have got the quality to eventually get the job done. They've got a very sort of strong record at Stamford Bridge in the Premier League. I was surprised they dropped points against Burnley. I think they'll eventually beat Watford.
Okay, Huddersfield kiss goodbye to the Premier League as far as their home fixtures go at 2 p.m. It's live on Sky. Who knows when they'll be back? They play Manchester United, and obviously United are very strong favourites, Mel.
Yeah, so United are 4s on away from home here. Huddersfield are 9-1 at home, and the draw is 9-2.
Tough one, Mark.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not a tough one, but tough in terms of trying to find.
Yeah, I mean, Huddersfield are just so bad in both boxes. That's their problem. Manchester United to win and under 3.5 goals could be one way of looking at it. They're not fluid up front. I mean, that's pretty obvious. Rashford hasn't scored in 6. Lukaku hasn't scored in 8. It does sound like Rashford will recover from his injury. Of course, they've got problems at the back, United, but Huddersfield have only scored 20 goals in the whole of the Premier League season. So I expect United to win, but it may not be a sort of 4-5-0. If you wanted a first goal score, I've mentioned the problems for Rashford and Lukaku. For all of Pogba's sort of issues, he has got 13 Premier League goals, takes the penalties on a lot of the free kicks and set pieces. I thought he may be a bit of first goal scorer value.
Dan.
I'm going to go United half-time, full-time, at shade of odds on. I look at the top four race. A lot of people are writing them off. I mean, it's tough for them, but they're 3 points behind Chelsea. I think the goal difference is about 8 goals. They're behind Chelsea, but they have got Huddersfield and Cardiff to come, so it's a bit of an opportunity for them. You know, if they're going to put some pressure on Chelsea and Arsenal to rack up some goals. Chelsea have got a dangerous last fixture as well, away to Leicester, that you wouldn't be completely shocked if they were to lose that. So if you're in United shoes, you've really got to try and get on the front foot here and rack some goals up. I'm going to go from half-time, full-time.
And Mal?
Yeah, I've gone for United -1 here, 10-11. I think they'll cruise past Huddersfield. And
probably, that seems a big price.
Yeah, I was surprised. When you look at them, 4s on to win the game, I wouldn't be backing that, but I'll back them on the handicap. I think if they win it, they'll win it quite comfortably. I think that they've got enough quality about them. I mean, again, the inconsistency with them, it's the same as Chelsea and Arsenal. And I think they're going to give enough hope to United fans to think, is Ollie the man to take over or stay on for the next season? I personally don't think he is, but I think they could walk past Huddersfield here, probably around 3-0 would be my estimate.
Are you up with next year's Premier League yet, Mal?
I'm not sure.
Have
actually.
Have you seen any yet from anyone? I think
I have seen one set of prices. Yeah, I was sort of just waiting to get this one out of the way first. I think.
What price United?
Oh, do you know, I didn't.
They're at 8-1. I'd say probably 9-1.
Yeah, I mean, probably the hardest of the teams to price up because. You know, they have got the potential to go and, you know, spend whatever they want, but I mean, they haven't spent it wisely for I don't know how long now, so why would they start all of a sudden? But you have a look, I mean, Chelsea are on a transfer ban. I mean, Arsenal have got a lot of work to do. They've got to replace Ramsey first. I mean, that's going to cost a lot of money. I mean, Tottenham reporting the Telegraph today saying they're not going to have much to spend. I mean,
it's
they are
two now.
Yeah, they are
six. It's a big two.
Well, yeah. I mean, them two have kicked well clear.
Okay, 4:30, Arsenal versus Brighton, live on Sky Sports, and another game in which we have a very strong favourite, Malachy.
Arsenal are strong favs indeed, 4-11 at home, the draw is 7-2, and Brighton are 15-2 away from home.
Dan, you can go first here.
I'm going to, bit of an outside the box one here, I'm going to go Arsenal to win and both teams to score, which may sound a bit strange considering Brighton's lack of attacking threat recently, but I'm just looking at the game here, and if you're expecting Palace to get a result against Cardiff, then Brighton could be safe going into this game. And in that case, you might play with a little bit more freedom, not just camped in. Arsenal defensively, when they make changes, look all over the place. I mean, they've shipped 3 goals in each of the last 3 games. It does come in between, you know, huge matches against Valencia. So I do expect a few changes, maybe Mustafi coming in. And I just think that Brighton, in that case, will do enough to get a goal. But I'd still fancy Arsenal to win the game and stay alive in that race for a top 4 finish.
Mal, what's your fancy here?
I'm Arsenal -1 here at 11-10. I think they'd be much too strong for Brighton. They have been very good at home, and I don't think that the midweek game tonight will impact them as much because they're at home with both fixtures. So I think that they'll cruise past Brighton here. -1, 11-10 is very backable.
Do you agree, Mark?
I think Arsenal will win comfortably. I disagree with Dan, though. I'm going to go for, I think, probably the first time in 37 Arsenal games this season, but Arsenal to win to nil. Brighton... It's not only the fact that they've scored 1 goal in their last 8 games, although that is off-putting enough in itself, but it's 10 shots on target in those 8 matches. Now, they may play with more freedom if they're safe, or it could get to a situation where a draw doesn't actually matter to them and they may as well try, you know, to win the game. But I just think they've lost their attack completely. And away from home, Chris Hughton in these big matches, they were beaten 2-0 at City, 1-0 Liverpool and Tottenham, 3-0 at Chelsea. They did score in defeat at Manchester United. I know Arsenal are terrible at the back. I just can't trust Brighton to be on the front foot.
The Monday night game at 8 p.m. is Man City versus Leicester. It's live on Sky. And depending on what happens versus in the Newcastle-Liverpool game on Saturday, it's either all, I'm sure it'll still be all to play for in a kind of fashion, but it could be bang on the boil, or City could definitely have the upper hand. They're obviously monstrously short, Mal.
1-7 at home. The draw is 15-2, and Leicester are 16-1.
I've got to say, the way Leicester played against Arsenal and have been playing recently, I'm going to have a cheeky fiver on Leicester at 16. Are you going to put me off, Mal?
Yeah, I don't really know for this game. I think it's really hard to call. Like, when you see the way City played against Burnley, I've backed City for the league, and I was pulling my hair at halftime because they just looked so relaxed, as if to say, we're going to score eventually. They didn't really seem too fussed in the first half. They didn't seem to be putting on that much pressure or killing themselves, really. I thought they were conserving energy, and as it turned out, they did get a goal in the second half, and they did kind of crank it up a notch about 5-10 minutes into the second half, and they were more than good enough to win the game. But I'd just be afraid of teams running out of time, and City looked like a team that were so confident in themselves that they were always going to get a goal that they didn't feel the need to rush it. Whereas I think Liverpool will have a different approach against Newcastle the weekend. I think from the very beginning of the game they're going to be piling on pressure. So I was thinking of backing a City handicap, but that's completely put me off. I wouldn't ever back them at 1-7 in this game. So I think if you look at Jamie Vardy's record, his record against top 6 teams is absolutely phenomenal. So 12-1 on him, first goal scorers available. I think that's worth a nibble each way. You'd be getting 4-1 on him any time. I do think City would be too strong overall, but if I was going to have a bit of a novelty bet, it would be on that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mark, Leicester, they're decent, aren't they? They're a good side. Can they give City headaches here?
Yeah, I think they can, definitely. I mean, I think there's a lot worse 16-1 shots than Leicester, and Vardy was another one that I'd sort of, you know, on my list of potential sort of bets, really. I mean, there are ways of sort of getting with Leicester to do well, even if you don't think they're going to win. I think maybe a safer play is probably Man City to win and both teams to score. Leicester have scored in all bar one of their away matches this season. That was at Crystal Palace. I definitely couldn't put anybody off backing Leicester, you know, if you do want to have a fiver on them. In terms of correct score, though, I mean, I think something like a 3-1 Man City could be the way to go, because Leicester and not great defensively, and that would be my concern. I always feel like you're probably better off with a team that can defend and then hit sort of them on the counter-attack, whereas I think Rodgers, the way that he plays, they'll probably have a go at City, and it could be spectacular, but most teams that have a go at City end up getting beat.
Okay, Dan.
I'm going to go with a draw here. I just think it's overpriced at 15-2. I think if Liverpool win, then obviously, you know, it's all on City to win the game. But if they don't get two goals in front, there's going to be lots and lots of nerves. I mean, you saw in the game against Burnley a little bit, but Burnley didn't have the quality really to put them under serious pressure. Leicester have got that ability to cause a problem. And you go back to the Spurs Champions League tie. You know, any team, even if you're dominant, when there's only one goal in it, it gets very, very nervous, lots of tension in the ground. You can imagine that. If they don't get two goals in front, that could be the issue. The other side of it, if Liverpool do say the draw at Newcastle, City are going into the game, and actually a draw just to keep it in their own hands before going to Brighton isn't actually a bad result. Are they going to be chucking players forward, you know, late on to win the game when they know a draw is precious? So, and the other thing is just simply looking at the ability of the sides and the head-to-head. Last four seasons, 3 Leicester wins, 3 Manchester City wins, and 1 draw. They have been well matched when they played each other. Leicester also got a win at the Etihad in that time. I just think the prices are wrong. Go for the draw.
This Leicester midfield is really decent now, isn't it? Tielemans has come in and added some quality. Harvey Barnes looks good. Madison's quality.
They haven't got the sort of exclusive rights to buy Tielemans, so they're desperately trying to sort of tie that up. But I think there are other clubs now sort of having a look.
Yeah, he's certainly put himself in the shop window, isn't he?
That feel like he could play for them.
Okay, right. Before we get the weekend naps, anything else lower down the divisions or indeed across Europe? Who have Milan got this week, Mal?
Who are Milan playing this week, actually?
Bologna
at home on Monday night, 4-6. But if Milan were playing Cavan Town, which would be my local team at home, I wouldn't back them. So,
oh, really?
It's chronic, yeah. It's basically a mirror image of what Arsenal and Chelsea and United are doing in England. And I think it's quite similar in Spain. It's any team who puts themselves in a position to get top four then just completely capitulates. So I don't know what way that's going to go, but I wouldn't be touching Milan anyway.
What have you got for us that isn't your nap?
That isn't my nap for the weekend football?
Yeah.
I haven't actually backed anything. Let me think.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll go to Mark first.
Back to me in a minute, yeah.
In Italy, that top four race, very interesting. I do like teams that have got a bit more to play for in Italy. I think there's probably more on that than saying the Premier League. Roma have suddenly been given a chance in the top four race. I expect them to take that at Genoa. They've got a lot of their injured players back now. That's been one of the problems earlier on in the season. I like Atalanta to win at Lazio as well, which is a critical game in that top four battle. And then in terms of the Football League, I think Oxford are a real big price against against Luton. Luton struggled, wobbled over the line, and Oxford absolutely flying at the moment. I think Burton at Peterborough could be another one that's overpriced at around about 100-30. And probably at a shorter price, say Sheffield Wednesday to beat QPR. QPR just put one or two youngsters in for that defeat to Nottingham Forest last time out, and Wednesday are finishing the season really well. And if they wanted to chuck it in against Preston, they could have done, and yet they fought back last week, and I think that bodes well.
Have you seen any tweets of Luton players getting pissed or anything?
I saw one from Barnsley that just said, the manager says, Town.
I think that, yeah, yeah, great night, lads. celebrate.
Although the prices say Luton have got a much easier game at home to Oxford, I think I'd rather be Barnsley going to Bristol Rovers, because Oxford and Luton, there's a little bit there. Going back a while. Yeah,
50 miles.
No,
a,
I mean,
tear up.
Yeah, I mean, and Oxford are playing really well under Carl Robinson as
okay.
well.
Okay, Dan, what have you got for us?
Other than the nap, would be the one that sticks out to me is Rotherham at 7-2 at home to Middlesbrough.
Haven't Middlesbrough finished the season badly?
They have, but they have still got a chance of playoffs, which is why the reason I think that Rotherham are such an inflated price. And Rotherham obviously were relegated last weekend. Lost unluckily, actually, 2-1 at West Brom.
They've been the kind of
really,
Cardiff
really well.
Of the Championship.
Yeah, and they've been extremely competitive all season. Paul Warren, who's I think has done a great job and will continue if he stays there. I think it was in tears in the post match press conference, which is but he's done a fantastic job there. I think the players will keep going for him. And Middlesbrough away from home recently have just been rotten. Lost three of the last four away from home. The most recent was 3-0 at Nottingham Forest when the shot count was 20 shots to 3. So Rotherham overpriced for me.
Have you managed to suss anything for us, Mal, or are you just going to go with the nap?
I'll just go, well, Atalanta, actually, Mark mentioned it, in warm-up to the Coppa Italia final. They're 21-10 away at Lazio. I'd fancy that. Like, they're in absolutely scintillating form. They've been brilliant all season. So I would like Atalanta 21-10, but it's not my nap of the week.
Right, well, let's find out what the naps are.
This will not be beaten.
Mark Langdon.
It's the biggest game, I think, in League One. Can't believe it's not on TV. Scunthorpe's trip to Plymouth. Both probably need to win. Plymouth could stay up, depending on results elsewhere. But I think they'll be thinking they need to win. And I think that they will win against their relegation rivals after they sacked Derek Adams at the weekend. He'd become absolutely toxic to the club, refused to speak to the local media. I mean, and that's a big, in certain areas, the kind of the local community is everything, and that would certainly be the case down there. He'd fallen out with a load of the players. I mean, Ladapo and Lemiras, these two top scorers he had on the bench last week for the defeat at Accrington. He said Ladapo had not made himself fit. Ladapo tweeted, not fit, laughing emoji. He'd basically become the reason that they've got into this position. At home, it's going to be a sellout, and their record against teams outside the top 10 at home is very good. Played 12, won 7, drawn 4. Scunthorpe, 2 points from their last 8 matches. They definitely need to win. I think that opens the door for Plymouth for odds against and a fair price.
You do not get that sort of analysis anywhere else, folks. Dan Charles, what's your nap?
I'm going to go with the Championship, and it's a dead rubber, but I'm going to go for Wigan, shade of odds against, 11-10 to win at home to Millwall in the last game season there. Their home record, 1-10, drawn 8, lost 4. That's the reason that Wigan have stayed up, very strong at home. They're also unbeaten in the last 4 games, so they've done well towards the end of the season. Millwall, no winning 6, kind of limped over the line really, because Rotherham have not been able to pick up the wins that they needed. Neil Harris, after they lost 2-1 at home to Bristol City, he talked about a summer overhaul and some of the players not buying into his football philosophy. So I think there's a few issues to sort out there, and I'll be on Wigan at odds against.
Did you see that on the News at Den? That's one of my favourite websites.
That's my go-to.
News at Den, that's
News
good,
at Den,
it?
Very good.
Yeah. Very, I like that. Mal, what's your nap?
Back over in Italy, I've gone for the cross city rivals Inter Milan to win at 8-11 away to Udinese. Udinese are in a bit of a relegation dogfight against Empoli, are probably the only team that can catch them now, but they're still within a great chance of staying up. But I just think that Inter, you know, they've picked up a little bit. I know they drew their last 2 games, but Udinese have 1 point in their last 4. Inter are kind of in a little bit of trouble for top 4 at the moment, because if they keep dropping points the same way everyone else is, then they will eventually drop out of it. But I think they've got enough quality to see off a relatively poor Udinese side.
Okay, Wickham seem to have been priced up as if they need to win. They kind of do theoretically, but probably don't. Very short against Fleetwood, who beat Sunderland in midweek when they didn't particularly need to. So I'm going to go with the Fleetwood draw double chance at Wickham at, I think, 8-11. Right then, okay, we've done the domestic stuff and the Europa League, but these Champions League semi-final second legs, while obviously very lopsided in terms of who's going to qualify, the betting, assuming a Barcelona-Ajax final, let's just see where there are any decent value bets and whether there could still be a way back in for the two Premier League clubs. Before we get the lads' verdict on the semis, what's the latest outright Champions League betting, Mal, from Paddy Power?
So Barcelona have gone heavily odds on at 2-5. Ajax are 10-3. Spurs are 10-1. And Liverpool are 20-1.
Well, I certainly couldn't back Barcelona at 2-5. They obviously are the likeliest winners, but that seems very, very short indeed to me. Tuesday then, Liverpool versus Barcelona. Liverpool very unlucky to be 3-0 down after a phenomenally fascinating first leg, which featured the best free kick I've ever seen from Lionel Messi and the worst piece of co-commentary I've ever heard from Steve McManaman, who sat there moaning about you shouldn't get beat from so far. Shut up! It was brilliant. Dan, lead on. Liverpool v Barcelona.
Yeah, it was very, very hard on Liverpool the way they played. I thought just didn't take the chances really, and I thought there was a bit of luck about that second goal. They were in control at 1-0, an interception that suddenly put their player, and then Suarez knees it onto the bar and it falls to Messi. I just thought that was the key moment, really. And even then, if if Liverpool got the goal, you know, Salah at the end there.
Horrible miss, three, that one.
I would have still have given them a really good chance of getting through. I just think that was, to not score the away goal was a killer blow, really. And I don't see them coming back. I would even suggest that the price is, I think they're 12-5 to win the game, Barcelona. I think that's a little bit overpriced. I think if they score first, a little bit like Spurs did in Dortmund when they were 3-0 up and then scored first in the away game, kills the tie stone dead and nullifies the Anfield factor. So I just think that's a little bit overpriced, 12-5 Barca.
What is the latest match betting, Mel?
Liverpool are 10-11 favs. Barca are 5-2 best price and the draw is 11-4.
And what do you think will happen?
I actually agree with that. Yeah, I'd be more inclined to back Barca. I think at 2-0, Liverpool were grand. I didn't think that they should have been going as gung-ho to get a goal as they did do. I mean, people always say, oh, Barcelona are going to score at Anfield. But, I mean, you would have said that Liverpool were going to score at the Nou Camp. So I think at 1-0, they were fine. At 2-0, it wasn't the absolute end of the world. But at 3-0, I can understand why we went for it. Now, I personally don't think that throwing up a goalkeeper is ever the right thing to do in the first leg of a tie. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
I mean, it's as stupid as doing it virtually in the first minute of the second leg.
Obviously, we couldn't see, but according to the BT commentary, like, Alisson was the one saying no. Alisson was
the first one ever.
Yeah, Alisson.
And the fans. I
mean, and it worked out, because, Dembele tapped it.
Should have scored, shouldn't he? That's why Messi cut it back to him, wasn't it?
I thought Liverpool played well. I didn't think that they played as well as people kind of suggested afterwards. I thought they were very good, and they were playing away to a very good side. But I still thought they deserved to lose the game, and I thought they deserved to lose by a couple of goals. Because, I mean, at 1-0, yes, they had chances to score. Barcelona missed several chances as well, though. And also, they did actually go and catch them on the counter. So, I mean, like, 3-0 probably wasn't a fair result in the grand scheme of things. Maybe 2-1 would have been a fair result. But I think Barcelona, if they didn't win that game, would have been kicking themselves afterwards.
What's the to qualify prices? Someone tweeted, or texted me rather last night, and said Liverpool are 18-1 to qualify. And I thought, oh, that sounds quite big.
Possibly on the exchange, there'd be 12-1 biggest with sportsbooks, so I wouldn't be touching that myself either.
Okay, Mark, Liverpool have got a fountain to climb, haven't they?
Let's just hope there's no locals nearby.
Go on.
I think if you fancy Liverpool to qualify, you might as well just back them to win the Champions League, I mean, because they'd be pretty strong favourites in the final. When games are like this, there's a couple of ways I like to play it, because, I mean, I think the half-time, full-time flip is a runner. Liverpool half-time, Barcelona full-time, just because of the nature of the game. Liverpool are going to come out early. I mean, Dan alluded to that Dortmund-Tottenham game. I mean, Dortmund missed 2-3 really good chances. And then, you know, and Man City against Liverpool, last season, that were on top, nearly got that second goal just before half-time. And maybe it would have happened. And then, of course, when you as soon as the goal goes in, there's a deflation. Liverpool potentially will then start thinking about the Premier League. I mean, we don't know exactly how that's shaping up, but there's a fair chance that they end up thinking that Wolves is the bigger game for them. So, I mean, in a game where I think the flip is probably more likely than normal, the prices don't reflect that, do they?
OK. And on Wednesday, Ajax take a 1-0 lead back to their own mid-in to play Tottenham. It's at 8 p.m. And what's the match betting?
So Ajax are favs here at 11-10. Spurs are 21-10 away from home, and the draw is 11-4.
It's really funny. A few of the Tottenham fans that I follow on Twitter were kind of petrified before the game and desperately pessimistic, and then afterwards, going, "We're definitely still in this." Is that kind of how you see it, Mark?
That's exactly how I feel. Yeah, I think I was. I know the odds are now less likely. I feel so much more comfortable with sort of this position of not being sort of, you know, even money to reach a Champions League final. It feels so much more relieving to be these outsiders with a chance, but accepting that you're probably not. First of all, I think the best bet is over 2.5 goals on both teams to score. I think it will be a much more open contest. We saw Ajax have their opportunities on the counter-attack. I thought Tottenham made them look like Pep's Barcelona for half an hour when they're not. When they got to grips with the midfield, it was a much more even contest. And I think Son and Sissoko do make a difference, but Ajax have obviously got quality going forward. I think it will be a far more open game. I thought the betting was interesting. There was a lot of money for Tottenham on the day, which didn't surprise me. They were like 5-6 draw no bet on Monday. That was sort of 4-7 by kickoff. So I think that there was a danger of people, say, overrating Ajax before the game, and actually that wasn't reflected in the betting market. So I wasn't overly impressed with Ajax, I have to say. They didn't really... I mean, Tottenham were terrible. You saw the quality difference in the second semi-final to the first one,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, so it's both an overs for
yeah,
you.
I think it'd be a wide-open game, a bit like the Man City-Spurs game.
Dan, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't think Spurs are dead. I think one thing I would say, after 20 minutes watching the game, if you'd have offered me a 1-0 defeat at that stage, I'd have snatched your hand off. And Sissoko coming on, it did change the balance of the game. And what Spurs were then lacking, having got a bit of control in the midfield, was a cutting edge. And they should have that, you know, this time with Son coming back in.
Son just come in and play up top instead of Llorente? Will he do
yeah.
something else?
Yeah, yeah. And that'll, you know, to have that, you've got a couple of threats then with Son and Lucas. It just makes a huge difference. And
the problem though, Dan, for me, is the form of Eriksen and Ali in these big games.
Terrible.
You
were about Ali, weren't you?
Yeah, Ali.
Eriksen as well. And these big, I'm sorry, but I know everyone loves him at Spurs, and you know, he was brilliant against Brighton, for instance. You know, I absolutely dragged them back into it single-handedly. I just think in these big games, he goes very quiet, and
if you're a playmaker, you need runners and movement ahead of you, and he didn't have that really. And Son coming in could help his game as well. Dele Alli is another case entirely. I just thought he looked so lethargic. I don't know whether it's a physical issue or a mental issue. He certainly could do with, you know, maybe having a better performance, nicking a goal against Bournemouth, you know, to set him up for the second
rumor
game.
Rumour was he wasn't training last week. I don't know if he is carrying.
He wasn't even closing down. When we didn't have the ball, that press wasn't there from him as well. So
if two of your kind of talisman, your unlockers are off their game, then it's so difficult, isn't it?
Yeah, but two of them are back, you know, the Sissoko and Son, so it does give Spurs a better chance. I'm not going to go as far as to say they're overpriced to qualify. I think they've got an underdog's chance, as Mark said. Where I would look at it, I think the tie could open up in the second half of the game. I think you saw a sort of second half at Spurs that neither team really wanted. Spurs were worried about conceding the away goal. Ajax were kind of happy with what they got. I think that might carry on here into the second leg for a while. And the second half, it could really start to open up.
So what's the bet?
I'm going to say second half, most goals, even money, I think looks a big price.
And Mal, what do you think?
Yeah, I like that, actually. That makes perfect sense. I'd agree with the lads. I thought Ajax were very good for the first 15, 20 minutes in the dominated possession. But when Spurs did come back into it, they kind of showed that they're well matched for them. I mean, it's just, I think that the biggest thing that surprised people was probably how much possession Ajax controlled away from home. But that's just the way that they play. So, I mean, Spurs did create enough opportunities to get a goal or a couple of goals, but they probably didn't have that cutting edge. I think if Son's playing up front for them, that does make a big difference as well, just the way that they line up. Even if, you know, if Kane was available and Son was available and everyone was available, Son doesn't probably play as well when Kane is also in the team. So even disregarding Kane not being there, I think Son was a huge loss for that game during the week. I wouldn't be surprised to see Ajax dominate possession again, but I think Spurs are in it. And if I had to back someone to qualify at the current prices, I'd rather be back in Spurs at 5-2 than Ajax at 2-7, to be honest. But yeah, I think it'll be a fairly open game. I'd be happy enough to just take on the overs.
I am going to back Wanyama and Sissoko to be booked because I think they'll go out and just try and jog the other mob out of their rhythm, and it could get a bit testy in them. But fascinating. Really looking forward to those semi-finals. Thank you very much indeed, chaps. You're going to go and watch some football this weekend, Mark?
No, in the office. A really really busy Sunday. There's a load of Premier League games. There's, I don't know how many live Championship games. There's a lot going on this weekend. Yeah.
Okay, you're grafting, Dan.
Yeah, you know, but mainly working as well. I'm off on Saturday, but Watford, I'm not going to Stamford Bridge. Watford are playing away to Chelsea on the Sunday. So.
Okay. And Mal, what are you doing?
It's bank holiday over here, so I'm off on Sunday, Monday, so I'll go out and have a few drinks and watch the football.
Jolly good. Okay, lads, good luck with your bets. Good luck with your tips as well. Good luck, everyone. Thank you very much indeed. We will be back next week to look at the return legs in the Europa League and also the final round of matches in the Premier League. In the meantime, we've got a racing podcast tomorrow. I'll be back looking ahead to the Guineas weekend. We've got racing on Monday, golf on Wednesday. Join us for more great racing podcasts.
Everything is better when it's bigger. Paddy Power's same game multi allows you to combine a number of selections from a single match into one big bet. Check out the same game multi tab and get building your bet. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.